an unexpected departure in some ways, quite a bold departure as well. You know, there have been quite a few European managers in the English football scene, but yeah, like you say, nothing like this at Huddersfield Town. You know, Dean Hoyle's appointments have always been down the more traditional route, from more traditional areas, if you like. So, yeah, a really interesting appointment as well, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing how it develops.
Now, when you look at what happened with Chris Powell earlier this week, a lot of people were very surprised by that because several people before the season had looked at Town and put us in the relegation zone at the end of the season. So the fact that we sit in the table where we do, a lot of people were saying, well, now's not the time to do it. And we just got what on the outside looked like a very credible draw at Reading. So timing just surprised the world of football.
Yeah, but a surprise in some ways. You know, like all these things, with hindsight, you look back and you see little things that were sort of developing and little issues that you might have heard things about. You know, you could have looked back to maybe before the Charlton Athletic game and thought that Chris's position was becoming a little tricky at that point and maybe bought some time with that victory at Charlton Athletic against his old club. But, you know, certain problems. I don't think it's completely results-orientated, this decision. You know, I know that there were differences over how to go forward, how to sort of, you know, envelop the youth at the club. And basically, you know, Chris wasn't quite following, you know, the route that the club wanted to take in terms of player development. I think that's probably the crux of the matter. But like you say, a bit of a surprise, you know, that the decision was taken in the wake of a very decent draw at Reading, although you could have argued that that was a game that Town should have won. And there were too many of those games, you know, where Town drew that they could have won. And perhaps Chris should have been that bit bolder in going for 3 points, you know, and risking losing one, if you know what I mean.
Another thing that Town have been accused of in the Chris Powell era was the fact that the football at times was boring. I've said on Radio Yorkshire that there were times you thought that so much preparation had gone into stopping the opposition that we'd never really thought about how we would then trouble them. And you would have games where we looked like we were playing for a draw early on and maybe then get sucker punched. And when you then push forward and a Naki Wells and an Ishmael Miller, when you're giving them one, two chances a game, the success rate is going to have to be pretty high if they're going to score from those. So it was always just that case. Maybe under Chris Powell, we were too defensive, and there's been talk as well, not enough was brought through from the youth ranks in the main bulk of his time at Town. I think that has played a part in this.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, I think the, you know, the best adjective you could use for Chris is conservative in terms of his management style and the way that he approached games, really. You know, it's a good argument that the fact that, you know, you get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw. If you win one game and lose two, you get exactly the same as drawing three. And sometimes, you know, there's an argument that rather than preserving a point, you should try and get all three at the risk of losing that 1 point. And there were, you know, many games in which, you know, you look at the sort of last 10, 15 minutes of the game, you know, we used to sit back a little bit and try and preserve that point when, you know, maybe with a bit more adventure, a bit more boldness, you know, we could have got three. So in a lot of ways, you know, I can see why Chris did the things that he did. You know, no manager goes out and deliberately, you know, loses the job and does things that they don't think are the right way of going about things. And Chris was a, you know, a really good bloke and a good manager. It'll be very interesting to see whether he moves on somewhere else and has success there. I mean, he was fairly successful at Charlton Athletic, which folk tend to forget at times like this. You know, got them promoted. Certainly in that first season back in the Championship for Charlton, he did very well and got him into the top half, which is what, you know, I think what Town wanted him to do. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see both Chris Powell and David Wagner, how they, you know, develop in the next few months.
Yeah, Chris Powell, I think, will definitely be in employment as a manager again very soon. I think he'll be successful. I just think it was maybe wrong team for him at the wrong time. But to move on to the future then, we've talked about the youth at Huddersfield being given more of a chance. Well, it's very much thinking outside the box from Huddersfield Town going for David Wagner. But when you look at what he's done and the fact that in his previous role, he was at Borussia Dortmund managing their second team, which is made up, it plays within the third tier of German football, and up until a rule change, I think it was all under 23s in the team barring three players. The rules changed, but they still chose to go down that route. So if you want somebody who's going to promote your youth, Town have gone for an interesting but potentially the right candidate with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's the absolute, you know, the actual crux of the matter, really. You know, Dean Hoyle's made no secret of his blueprint, if you like, for pushing the club forward. It's in developing players and then at some stage selling them on. You know, they've done that to a limited degree with people like Connor Cody, Jacob Butterfield, people that have come in, they've worked on, improved as players, and reaped the financial reward from it. I guess you'd say that Naki Wells is in the same bracket at some stage. You know, you'd expect him to move on to a bigger club. That was certainly, you know, his plan when he came in. And now they've brought in a specialist in that very area, you know, so it's a sensible appointment when you look at it that way, definitely. You know, David Wagner's got a, you know, proven track record of working with young players. Borussia Dortmund have got a very big, you know, a bigger version, if you like, of Huddersfield Town's sort of idea of how to go forward on a different scale, and we're talking about a different stature of club. But, you know, David Wagner, obviously a specialist in this area, and if you're going to go for somebody, then he's the type of person that you'd want to go for, really.
Former roommate with Jurgen Klopp. I think Jurgen Klopp was David Wagner's best man. I've got to be honest with you, we already have a decent relationship with Liverpool. You've mentioned Connor Cody going from the Reds to Town. We've loaned a couple of Liverpool players over the years. There's a part of me now that started to eye up the Liverpool youth ranks. Who's decent, who's not, and wondering, well, the connection's going to be there. Liverpool now might start loaning a few decent players our way.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's all about connections football, isn't it? You know, people, you know, contacts, all that kind of stuff, pulling in favours. And there's obviously a very, very close relationship between David Wagner and Jurgen Klopp. I mean, obviously, he was expected to go to Anfield when he left Dortmund. So Town have really hijacked the move, if you like. So that in itself is quite exciting and quite a positive kind of thing, really. So, but, you know, hopefully that relationship will continue. I'm sure it will, because, like you say, they're very close mates. I think they're sort of, you know, godparents to each other's children and that kind of thing. Obviously, best man at the wedding. You know, they've been mates for a long time, and I don't think that's going to end just because Wagner hasn't gone to Liverpool. So, hopefully there's a fruitful relationship to be picked.
Now, I know you've been doing your research, Dougie, and I know yesterday on The Examiner you were looking at how Dortmund had played under Klopp, and Dortmund 2 under Wagner played very similarly to this. There's a style of play called Gegenpressen, which I think is a phrase that's going to start being known around Huddersfield, possibly around the whole Football League. Describe for us, Dougie, what Gegenpressen is.
Yeah, I think in its simplest term, it's not as simple as I'm putting it, but basically it's pressing high up the field, particularly when you don't have the ball, so that as soon as, you know, if the other team's attacking, you need to make sure you win the ball back off them as high up the field as you can, as quickly as you can, and then counter-attack by sort of swarming men forward. So it's a very sort of high, I mean, they call it full throttle football is a sort of English terminology for it. It's a sort of high intensity kind of game, which obviously, you know, takes fit players. So that's going to be an interesting challenge for a lot. Not that I'm saying that they're not fit, but, you know, it's an extra level of fitness that you need to do. And it's playing a particular way and to a particular sort of pressing style, if you know what I mean. So that's going to be take a little while to develop, maybe, but certainly that's the way that Dortmund play throughout the club. And a big part of Dortmund's approach was to copy the playing style and the systems and the philosophies all the way down the various teams, which have been, you know, an idea of Huddersfield's, really. If you heard Mark Willis at the press conference yesterday, he was talking about that same sort of idea of making sure that the, you know, the under-18 team, the under-21 team play in the same style as the first team. The theory being, obviously, that you can slot players up into the, you know, the team above quite easily when you need to do so. In a nutshell, that's my attempt to explain it. I'm sure it's not quite that simple, but it's going to be very interesting to see it in action, I think.
On the video you shared yesterday, Dougie, if we start like that in game one of David Wagner's tenure, I think, yeah, the players will be knackered quite quickly, but I think people will wonder just what's coming at them, because it's just wave after wave of attack. Very impressive stuff. Now, Dougie, you can tell what an exciting week it's been, because we're well into our chat and we haven't even mentioned a game tomorrow. It's not quite got the attention from a lot of people that normally a derby between Town and Leeds would get.
No, it's really interesting that you say that. You know, you've got to sort of pinch yourself sometimes and just pull yourself back and think, yeah, you know, I've got to be at the stadium early tomorrow morning, because obviously it's an earlier kick-off than normal as well. And I think the fact that having the game at Reading on Tuesday, you know, obviously alters the build-up to it. You don't get that week before where you can concentrate on it, talk about it, you know, write about it all week. And it's certainly, you know, not taking the edge off it, it's taking the focus off it. And hopefully, in a way, that might be a good thing for Huddersfield Town. But you're not pondering in it all week, thinking about it, worrying about the past few games against Leeds, that kind of thing. You know, so you know, hopefully everybody will just be able to focus on that game tomorrow, you know, give it everything and hopefully go into the new era or the new coaching era on the back of a victory under Mark Lewis.
Do you see Town getting the victory tomorrow? I do.
Hopefully, yeah, I always hope so. You know, I mean, you always hear the old cliches about derbies, don't you? You don't really know what's going to happen. I think the one thing that you can say about Town Leeds games is that they've been fairly eventful and they produce a lot of goals. And, you know, looking at both clubs and the way that they've defended of late, I think that's quite a good possibility.